If you have been keeping up with the news, you are aware then of the incidents that happened this past week with the police officer killing the black man. And then the ensuing riots that occurred from that. I was watching the news, and a news reporter was standing there where the riots were going on. And the reporter was interviewing someone who was taking part in this destruction. And, excuse me, the question was, what do you hope to gain from these riots? And the individual answered back, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Well, the man made that statement, but obviously the man does not understand the statement. Because the Old Testament statement of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, it was given to Israel to control excesses, in particular to control anger and revenge and violence. The very thing that the man who was being interviewed, the very thing that he was participating in, the scripture verse that he was quoting forbid him to do what he was doing. Now, we're all familiar with this type of attitude. We're familiar with it because we're all guilty of it. If someone does harm to you, your first reaction, your natural instinct, is to strike back. But we don't want to get even. Nobody likes a tie. When we strike back, we always want to be one up. We want to hurt the individual more than what they hurt us. We see this type of attitude all the time in children. You have probably, if you've been around children, you have heard this conversation. Daddy, he hit me. Why did you hit him? Well, because he hit me first. Well, why did you hit him first? Because he took my toy. Well, why did you take his toy? Because he took my toy. You see, children have this, and I see some of y'all laughing because you know what I'm talking about. They have ingrained in them the law of God that says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But they also have the sinful disposition that they don't want to just be even. They want to be one up. If you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you this way. Well, if you hurt me this way, I'm going to hurt you that way. We've all heard these similar conversations between children. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's the way children handle conflict. And here in our passage, Jesus is dealing with how a Christian should handle conflict. You see, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. It was Jewish legislative way of dealing with conflict. The punishment must equal the crime. If you knock a man's eye out unintentionally or intentionally, then you are to lose an eye as well. An eye for an eye was never to be enacted by the individual. It was to be decided upon by the court system. In the Old Testament, an individual could not decide to take responsibility upon himself to punish a crime. But it was the Jewish elders, the Jewish legislators, it was their responsibility to determine a fair punishment for a crime. But in Jesus' day, the traditions of the Pharisees, the traditions of the religious leaders, had muddled and clouded the true meaning of God's law. And what was happening was, people were using this scripture, this directive, to actually seek revenge on their own. Oh, God's word says an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Therefore, I am going to take the responsibility. And not just take one eye, I'm going to take two eyes. So to correct this misunderstanding of seeking revenge, Jesus once again makes clear what the law is all about. That is the principle of the Mosaic legislation. It is to practice justice, to ensure that justice happens and not a sinful revenge. And the object of the law was not to urge people to actually take an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and to insist upon it every time. It was simply meant to avoid the spirit of revenge and to avoid excesses in punishing crimes. Well, what then does Jesus mean when he says, resist not evil? We have that here. Jesus says, do not resist an evil person. What is he referring to? Well, he's simply saying that if you are insulted by someone, don't take them to court. Don't take them to court. Don't seek revenge. The key to understanding is found in one word in this passage that Jesus repeats over and over and over again. I believe it's found 7 or 8 times. As you look at that passage, what one word do you think that Jesus is using here to teach us? It's a little word, and that word is you. The word you is used here to give you direction in handling people if they insult you or hurt you. Jesus is saying, in effect, that it ain't all about you. It ain't all about me. It's about someone else. What Jesus wants us to see is that your value, your significance, your self-image is not dependent upon what another person thinks about you or what another person does to you. Your significance is found in the one who has created you and the one who has redeemed you. You are made in the image of God. You are a personal creature created by a personal God. A God who has created us to glorify Him and enjoy Him forever. That's where we find our worth. That's where we find our value. And that is a value that no one can take from us. It is established by God. Therefore, our value, our significance is safe. It is safe and secure in who God is. My value cannot be destroyed. Therefore, any harm or insult aimed at me ultimately is not against me. It is against the one whom I am made in his image. Now, this is radical when it comes to dealing with conflicts. You have conflicts in your home. You have conflicts at your work. You have conflicts in your school. Sometimes we have conflicts in the church. How do we initially deal with those things? The first thing we have to do is remind ourselves, where do I find my value? Where do I find my significance? Is it in what this person is saying about me? Is it in what this person has done to me? No. My value and significance is in what God has said about me. That He loves me, that He will never leave me nor forsake me. My value is secured in Christ. Therefore, I don't need to seek revenge when someone insults me. I don't need to go to court if someone insults me. I can turn the other cheek. I can offer my cloak. I can even go the second mile because I don't have a spirit of revenge. If revenge is needed, then God will take care of that. A Christian is never to be concerned about personal insults. Let me tell you something that we probably don't realize about ourselves. No matter how much you are insulted by someone, you're really a lot worse than what they've said. I mean, if someone just calls me a dirty old dog, you know, I may not like that, but really that's a compliment compared to what I really am. People can never insult you more than what you already are. I mean, think about it. There was a time we were the enemies of God. We were in allegiance with Satan and the powers of darkness. So no matter what anybody says to me, let me put it this way. If you really knew me, you wouldn't like me. Because I'm a lot worse than what you think. And because I know I'm a lot worse than what you think, therefore, when you insult me, there is an amount of truth to what you're saying. But I also know that I do not need to respond in hatred or revenge, because my value and my worth is secured in Christ. But when it is a matter of justice and righteousness and truth, then we can make a protest. Let me explain that. In John chapter 18, we have this passage that we read this morning about the high priest questioning Jesus. And when Jesus answers their questions, someone reaches out and slaps Jesus in the face. Jesus called that into question. And you know why? Because it was against the rules that God had laid down for the Sanhedrin when they interrogated someone. That was against the rules. Old Testament legislation did not allow that. And so when that happened, Jesus questioned them. Now, it's not that Jesus was taking a personal insult to it. Jesus was upset that the law, that God's law, was not being upheld. And so it is at a point like that that Christians and the church that we can make a stand. You call me a dirty old dog? Okay. Yeah. I'm a dirty old dog and I got a lot of fleas too. I mean, I'm worse than what you think. But now if you go and break God's law, that's where I can challenge you. Same thing happened to Peter, to Paul in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas, they've been thrown into prison there in Philippi. Their feet were put in chains. And then the next morning, the magistrates, they realized, oh, we've kind of made a mistake. So they send an order that Paul and Silas be set free. Now, do you think Paul's going to put up with that? No. Paul replies, "They have beaten us publicly without a trial, even though we are Roman citizens, and threw us into prison. And now they want us to leave quietly. No, let them come themselves and escort us out." You see, for Jesus and for Paul, it was not a personal insult. It was a matter of what does the law say? Paul understood that these officials had been given the responsibility to uphold the law, and they were the ones who were breaking it. And so it was at that point that Paul challenged them. It's at that point that Jesus challenged the Sanhedrin. And it is at that point that we as Christians and the church can challenge the leadership of the church or the government of the United States itself. These teachings of Jesus can be summed up like this. First, I must be right in my attitude towards myself and God and realize my significance cannot be depreciated by others. Because I am made in the image of God, I am able then to be patient and forgiving and not have a desire for revenge or have a spirit of retaliation for those who have hurt me. Understanding my value in Christ, I can be patient towards any injustices that are done to me and demands that are placed upon me by others. But I also have a responsibility to uphold the law of God, to uphold in my home, in my church, in my community, in my country, that which God says is right, to uphold it and to seek the punishment for those who break God's law. When we were the enemies of God, when we were dead in our sins and transgressions, God was patient with us. Christ Himself took upon Himself there on the cross our punishment. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, did not come upon us. Instead, it came upon Christ. Jesus suffered our punishment for us. Therefore, being secured in Him, my value and significance cannot be diminished by what anyone says or does here on earth. my sinful world says it's all about me. No, it's not. It's not about you at all. It's about Christ. Let us endeavor to have a forgiving spirit. It is not by accident that as Jesus has expounded the law on an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, that he immediately then goes into what? You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you to love your enemies. Your significance and value is found in Christ. Therefore, you can have a forgiving spirit. You can be patient with those who hurt you and despise you and persecute you. You can do that, but at the same time, do not compromise God's law. Do not compromise that which is good. Do not let evil become good and good become evil. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father,